Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Some of the leaders in the so-called New Age movement elevate their views above what the Scriptures reveal about the will of God. The leaders in that pagan movement apparently think they have greater insight into the mind of God than either Moses or Isaiah or even Jesus Christ. One of these modern New Age gurus is a woman named Betty Eddy. She came to national attention when she wrote a best-selling book with the title Embraced by the Light. Because of that book, she became a national celebrity and probably became wealthy also. She then wrote a second book entitled The Awakening Heart, My Continuing Journey to Love. Neither book has either literary or spiritual value. But concerned preachers and theologians have to respond to such blatant repudiation of the Scriptures. Betty Eddy had a so-called near-death experience. She supposedly died and visited the eternal world. She was told she had to come back to the earth for a while because she had not completed her mission. Reading her books, and she has a third one now, allows the reader to see just how far some people within the New Age movement have departed from good common sense and from the Scriptures. Her books are a mixture of Mormonism, Eastern religions, and the occult. All of the grievous errors in her book need to be refuted, but I shall dwell today on just one statement. In her book, The Awakening Heart, Betty Eddy asserts that God's love seeks nothing from us and demands nothing of us. Page 39. She pretends to love the Scriptures and to love the Christ of the Scriptures. But her statement shows an almost total ignorance of the Bible or a deliberate denial of the Bible's message. How could anyone read any part of the Bible, either Old Testament or New, and be so oblivious to its teaching? All Bible students know there are difficult passages in the Word of God. If you have not found some of these difficult passages, drop me a line and I will be more than happy to furnish some of them for you. But Betty Eddy's assertion that God's love seeks nothing from us and demands nothing of us can be refuted by any knowledgeable 10-year-old. It does not take a Ph.D. to know that God seeks our love, our worship, and our obedience. God's demands on human beings are found throughout the Scriptures. If Betty Eddy had said that God does not need anything from us, that would have been in harmony with Paul's teaching in Athens, Greece. Paul told the Athenian philosophers, God who made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with men's hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He gives to all life and breath and all things. Acts 17:24-25. The infinite God does not need anything from man, but He seeks man's obedience, his worship, and his allegiance, not for God's benefit, but for ours. John 4 records a meeting between the Lord Jesus Christ and a woman of Samaria. The Samaritan woman wanted to know which worship was acceptable to God, the worship of the Samaritans in Mount Gerizim or the worship of the Jews in Jerusalem. Jesus explained, You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. John 4:20-22. Now please listen carefully. But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. John 4:23. Did you notice what Jesus said about the Father seeking true worshipers? The Greek word zete is present active indicative, which involves continuous action. The Greek could be rendered, the Father constantly seeks such to worship Him. A.T. Robertson's books, Word Pictures of the New Testament, says concerning God seeking man. John pictures the Father as seeking worshipers, a doctrine running all through the Gospel. Volume 5, page 67. Dr. Robertson cites several verses which teach that truth, but I shall read just one of them. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10. Has Betty Eady ever read the book of John? If she has, did it ever dawn on her that John was teaching about God's love for man? How could she have missed the meaning of the golden text of the Bible? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3:16-17. What was God seeking when He sent Jesus Christ into the world? Do these verses not teach He was seeking man's obedience and love? If God seeks nothing from man, how does one explain all that God has done to turn men from Satan to salvation? Betty Eady insists that God does not demand anything of man. Did she learn that on her alleged trip to the world beyond? She certainly did not learn it from the Word of God. In fact, the opposite message is taught on virtually every page of the Bible, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. I am aware that the King James Version of the Bible almost never uses the word demand, and when it does, it is not usually with the meaning of the modern English word. The word in the King James Version usually means to ask, to inquire, to request. That is also true of most other versions of the Scriptures. One of the synonyms of the word demand is the word require. Does the Bible teach that God requires certain behaviors of human beings if they are to have His approval? How would Betty Eady explain this verse? And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? Deuteronomy 10:12. How could any person overlook the simple truth of this passage? Several hundred years later, the prophet Ezekiel emphasized the same truth. For in my holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, says the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings, and the first fruits of your oblations, with all your holy things. Ezekiel 20:4. The 8th century B.C. prophet Micah asked the Israelite people, wherewithal shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Betty Eady would tell Micah that God makes no demands of us. We do not have to do anything. That was not Micah's inspired response to these vital questions. Instead, he wrote, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6:6-8. Does that sound to you as if God does not demand anything of human beings? The New Testament also emphasizes the demands God makes on people. Paul did not endorse Betty Eady's views about God's demand on man. He told the Corinthians, Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:1-2. Incidentally, the word required in this verse is the same word translated seek in John 4:23. Jesus used the same Greek word when he taught these familiar concepts. But he who knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much is required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Luke 12:48. The several reading of these passages from the Old Testament and from the New ought to convince any honest hearer that God seeks something from man and demands something of man. But we do not have to examine the word seek or require to understand what God demands of man. We do not live under the law of Moses, but a brief review of some of the Lord's demands on the Jewish people should show what God demanded of them. Was God merely making suggestions when he gave the Ten Commandments, or were they requirements for having God's approval? The Lord said to the children of Israel, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land that the Lord your God gives you. You shall do no murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Exodus 20:12-16. Betty Eady may want to alter the Word of God so it does not include any demands or commands. But all of us know what the Lord's attitude is toward His commands. In case you have forgotten, the following verses ought to refresh your memory. "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 14:15. "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." John 15:14. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous or burdensome. 1 John 5:2-3. How can anyone read these powerful and simple passages and argue that God seeks nothing from us and demands nothing of us? All of God's commands are demands on His people. We cannot please Him and ignore or disobey His commands. If one is an unbeliever and wants to find peace with God Almighty, he must believe in God and in His Son. Jesus taught His disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." John 14:1. Believing in God the Father is not adequate. We must also believe in the Son. Is belief an absolute requirement of the gospel? Please listen to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. "I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." John 8:24. If you have any doubt about the necessity of faith, these words from the great faith chapter in Hebrews should remove that doubt forever. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. As essential as faith is, without works, faith is dead. So then faith, if it keeps on not having works, is dead, being alone. James 2:17. James illustrates the essentiality of faith by using Abraham as an example. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" Do you see how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? James 2:21-22. Faith in God is not optional for those who would come to God for salvation. Neither are works optional. They are demands of our Heavenly Father. The Scriptures require that those who would be saved from their past sins and added to the Lord's church must repent of their alien sins. Jesus told a Jewish audience, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:3-5. The Apostle Paul instructed the Athenian philosophers, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all, in that he has raised him from the dead. Acts 17:30-31. Did you take careful note of the expression, God commands all men everywhere to repent? How can Betty Eady harmonize this and other commands with her assertion that God seeks nothing from us and demands nothing of us? Incidentally, is that not what grace alone means? Is confessing faith in Christ a demand of God Almighty? Our Lord said, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Matthew 10:32-33. If confession of Christ is not a demand of the gospel, why will Christ deny men who do not confess him? When one believes in God the Father and in Jesus Christ the Son, turns from his wicked ways, confesses the name of Christ before men and before God, he is then ready to obey the command which places him in the body of Christ. Peter gave the Jews that command, Repent and be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. The imperative mood in both the English and the Greek involves a command. Both verbs in Acts 2:38 are imperatives. They are commands of God Almighty. If one does not obey these commands, he cannot have the remission of sins. So how can anyone say that God demands nothing of us? When one has obeyed these initial commands of the gospel, he has not fully complied with God's will. There are many commands which God has given for our growth in the kingdom. I shall mention just a few of these in the time we have remaining today. What command of the gospel is better known than this? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12. Does Betty Eady and other New Agers believe the Lord demands that we treat each other as we want to be treated? She may believe it is not a requirement for Christian living, but the Lord bound it on all his servants. We ignore it at our peril. I ask you to pay special attention to the commands or imperatives in this excerpt from Colossians 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. Literally, keep on thinking on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hidden in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. But now put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, tender-heartedness, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in the which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3:1-5, 8, 9, 12, 14-16. These are just a few of the many commands found in Colossians and throughout the Bible. Nobody who respects the word of God would ever argue that these commands are optional. I'm not saying that obeying God's commands earns for anyone the right to life eternal. But we must obey the commands of the Lord to show that we truly believe His Word and want to be saved eternally. So, dear friends, do not be misled by anyone who tells you that God seeks nothing from us and demands nothing of us, as Betty Eady so foolishly says in her book, The Awakening Heart. God seeks man's welfare and demands that he walk in the light of the gospel. Thank you for listening today, and may God continue to bless you.